afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly muster together. And before we get into my regular start, I need to do a mic check because I have a friend sitting across from me, a lovely lady who owns the Lavender Hill Farm. And we're going to have a visit between two friends that we're going to broadcast over the world. But Kathy, would you give me a mic check just to make sure that you...
Sure. Hi. Thank you, Captain Joe, for inviting me.
You're on loud and clear, dear. Good. So we're ready to go. So first of all, my greetings to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world. And I still send greetings to Singapore, even though my Singapore family has returned back to the States. And, of course, to the other side of the world, to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which the capital is Stockholm. All of Captain Joe's people in the air, at sea, all of the stations that are out about their father's business, rescuing the hapless mariner and the hapless aviator. So my greetings, and in particular my greetings this afternoon to Kathy McNeil, with whom we're going to have a talk about her life here on the island and about the business that she owns and operates. And before we get to that, of course, is always the reference to the binnacle list, the sick list. And I would normally make a comment about all of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list who are doing well and recovering, but I had a very sad news this morning. And one of my closest friends, one of the most supportive people during my own last 2 years, sent me a signal this morning, and he has been diagnosed with a very aggressive colon cancer. And so he is at the top of the binnacle list, and it is my wish, my hope, and my command that all who are listening to me and who are concerned about the people that are on the binnacle list, that you keep all of them in your thoughts as they work their way through their particular journey. So having gotten through the our traditional announcements, and I have a few more if we have the time after Kathy and I are are done with the talk that we want to have. So, Kathy McNeil. McNeil is the Scottish spelling, is it not?
It is. It's one of many spellings. Mine is M-A-C, capital N-E-A-L. And we are the McNeils of Barra from the Outer Hebrides. But I'm probably more French than anything else because I had a French grandmother.
So the Outer Hebrides, that's sailor's country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can only get there by boat or by airplane.
And... Oh, you land on the beach.
Yes. Yes, well, Captain O'Brien tells stories about landing a DC-4 on the beach in Alaska when they go to pick up when he was first a captain.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not here to talk about landing on beaches. We're here to talk about the Lavender Hill Farms.
Right.
And so my first question to you is one that is always of interest to island people. What brought you to the magical Isle of Vashon, and why do you continue to stay here?
How did I get here?
Yes.
Okay, so I there two notable Vashonites got me here, Gene Doherty and Bill Wood.
Mm-hmm.
They were my friends in Los Angeles. Jeannie and I produced together, acted together. Bill wrote. I did a wonderful play of his about Emily Dickinson. And in 1994, they started exploring, you know, what's their next place, and landed on Vashon. I'd never heard of it. On my 40th birthday, I just celebrated my 68th, I took the ferry and came out to see what Vashon was all about because they were going to stay here. So over the years, I visited many times. And as I was selling my house in L.A., Jeannie called and said, well, there's this darling little cabin on the west side. I think you should buy it. This was in Beulah Park, and I bought it sight unseen. And we spent 3 years there. And during those 3 years, I followed a sign that said, you cut lavender. and my kids were, oh, I don't know, 4 and 10. I have pictures of them there. Mary Bebo was running it. It was a fundraiser for the soccer team. And cut lavender and took pictures. And I said, this is my dream. And it was a fantasy, but it was my dream. I was growing lavender in Los Angeles because we were having a big drought. And lavender is one of the prettiest drought-tolerant plants. And over the years, I would drive by the lavender farm and fantasize about it from the little cabin on the west side. And then it went up for sale. And I called Emma Amiad, and she said, oh, that sold right away. I was getting the Beachcomber a week late because we were in Berkeley, California. And it fell out of escrow. And I flew up here, and I stood on the porch. And my friend here said, well, I thought you were crazy to buy it. Now I think you'd be crazy not to. So that was in 2006. So we are now in lavender season 17. But I was raising children in Berkeley, and so I did not move here full time until 2019, just in time for COVID, which was the perfect time to garden.
So I want to talk about your website. So lay out the address of your website, because I'm going to refer to it.
Sure. It's lavenderhillvachon.com.
Lavenderhillvachon.com. And the first time that I met Kathy was at a social gathering of a number of mutual friends. In fact, it was a birthday party for Bill West, mm-hmm. who has been on this program a number of times. And Bill is a wonderful gentleman, and his appeal to my particular audience is because he's a lawyer in Admiralty, in other words, a sea lawyer.
Right.
And we met at that party, and we got to talking about a number of different things. And after that party, I went back to Captain's Quarters, and I called up lavenderhillvachon.com or net.com. lavenderhillvachon.com. And I was struck by the beauty of the site. And the site is beautiful because the subject is beautiful. It is an incredibly beautiful place. And so now, Kathy, is your chance to describe in short and pithy way.
Yes.
What comprises Lavender Hill Farm and some of the things that you are doing there.
I would love to. So Lavender Hill Farm, shout out to the Christmans, who were the ones who planted the lavender, and Gary Christman was a dentist on the island, and I understand Theo Christman was the Martha Stewart of Vachon at the time. So I was very lucky to be the recipient of such beautiful gardens that were planted, the work that they had done on the farmhouse. So what Lavender Hill Farm is, and farm is kind of an exaggeration, it's 3/4 acre. About a half acre is in lavender. We have 20 different varieties. And the property is situated on the Burton Hill. We have a view of the Inner Harbor, Outer Harbor, Mount Rainier, Lavender. So you can pretend you're in Maine, you can pretend you're in Provence, and then you can see the tower at SeaTac, which reminds you you can be anywhere once you get to the airport in less than an hour. So it's a very...
That's assuming the ferries work correctly.
Yes, I don't have my own boat, but we'll talk about that. So it's a very charming location, and the appeal to people is to come and cut their own lavender. But we also do many other things. We have lavender cookies from Champagne Cookie Company there on the island. We sell dry lavender soda. We make our own sachets. We make lavender wreaths, which are hugely popular. I counted last year, we made 181 of them, and that's in 6 weeks. So during lavender season, we are busy with that. There's a farm store. And we also sell some of Susie's lavender products. Those are facial products and skin products. And we have a blast. And one of the reasons why it's so special to me is because I have had an internship program since 2009. So I've had a wonderful number of young women and men come through the farm. They live in the farmhouse. So we're working on community living, and they're better at it than I am because they've been in dorms. They're mostly in college or just out of college. And over the years, my kids, who were much, much younger than the original interns, are now exactly the same age as the interns. So so it's a big party of 20-somethings at my house, plus me. And they learn all about Lavender. And really, they learn about small business, because you almost said .org, and it's not a nonprofit, but actually... It is sort of
a nonprofit. How do you recruit the interns that you get? And I know this year you have four.
Yes. And they are from, one is from West Seattle, so that's handy because she knows the area. Brooklyn, Florida, Michigan. And they find me either through word of mouth, through the website, or through an organic website that lists organic farms.
Is there a, well, there probably is a network of people like you, because there's a network or an organization for just about everything in human endeavor.
Right.
So is there a network of people that grow lavender in small farms?
Well, there's the U.S. Lavender Growers Association, and then there's the Pacific Northwest Growers Association. But I haven't found my interns through that. And most of the interns, it's not that they are experts in lavender, and I don't need them to be experts. I need them to be motivated, good with people, good listeners, independent. And so I go through a vetting process where they fill out an application, and then I do usually a Skype or a Zoom call.
Have you, because it seems to me that in addition to the things that they learn from you, and you talked about they're learning about business,
mm-hmm.
These are people that never knew each other before they came to you. Is that true?
True, although this year two of them go to Vassar College, so they do know each other. But for the most part, they are strangers to one another when mm-hmm. they come. And they're rooming with people that they've just met. So very similar to a college situation.
So in a college situation, every now and then, some personalities clash and there is discord. And maybe even... as skillfully as you may do the vetting process for these young people, that may also happen. How do you handle that?
I try to talk to the person one-on-one. Let me just say that this year, they're absolutely fantastic. Lovely, lovely, all of them. And so it hasn't come up, but it has in the past a couple times. And there have been two different interns that we parted ways early, mutual decision, and for the most part, it's a conversation with the intern, and the bigger the group I have, because I've had three and four before, the more chance that is that might occur. But I've one of the ways that I avoid it is just by tightening up my vetting process a little bit. And also, for the first time this year, I got references and talked to the references. So that was really helpful. And of course, everybody had great references. But I think that in previous times, I would have been able to tease out what might be a little bit of a problem.
So I am always especially interested in programs that take young people and teach them all kinds of things. And the corollary to that, the captain's corollary to that is I'm also always interested in leadership and leadership techniques and mm-hmm. how people do things mm-hmm. in a leadership situation. So what are some of the duties that these young people have?
Well, one of the things that I do, and this is great that you asked me about leadership, is we really have four different areas that we work on. And each week, an intern takes the lead on that. So there'll be an intern who's running the store, handling merchandising, inventory, reconciliation at the end of the day, and then one who's in charge of the field. What are we doing with the lavender? What are we cutting? What are we letting other people cut? keeping an eye out for what's coming into bloom. Then we have the one that's in charge of the farmer's market. We go to Proctor some weeks and we go to Vashon some weeks. So that person has the responsibility for making sure everything is in the minivan, making sure that, you know, she has all the supplies. This year it's all she's. And then runs that and meets a couple of former interns who are in Tacoma who help run that. And then the fourth one is handling social media, which is our Instagram feed, our weekly newsletter. And I have a wonderful, wonderful intern named Jackie Chen this year, who is really a terrific photographer. So whoever's doing social media, they're getting fed the photos from Jackie, which is terrific. This, I have to say that I learn as much from the interns as they learn from me. They're playing ukulele. They're playing guitar. The first thing we did, because I thought last year that I started off being too much of a boss and working everybody too hard. So this year,
I find that hard to credit. But carry on.
Actually, I can do that. I can be very bossy. But this year, I decided that one of the first things we would do, and I collected all these magazines, and shout out to the people who gave me their old magazines, is we did a collage. You know, we did an inspiration board, and the four that these interns did are so fantastic. They totally got into it. And they made these wonderful creations of what they were seeing for their summer. And that was such a nice icebreaker. You know, I mean,
icebreakers.
Yeah. another group would have said, oh, this is really dumb. Why do we have to do this? But no, they love to do jigsaw puzzles and crossword puzzles, and there's beading, and there's always some creative thing going on. I love my interns so much. I do have a little boat story. Do you want a boat story?
I do. Okay. I always want a boat story.
Okay. So one of the other things we do at the farm is I rent the farmhouse for 2 months a year, May and August, and I rent my little Airbnb, Betty's Blue, a room with a view, for the other 10 months. But the farmhouse, which people always ask about, is a 1937 farmhouse. But it was moved here from Maidenbower Bay on a barge. This is where the boat thing comes in 1979, coming into Inner Quartermaster and then hauled up the hill. I have pictures of the article that was in the newspaper from that time.
So that's a lovely nautical lead-in to your opportunity to talk about the rentals that you have. You have two different rental quarters, and when I was looking at the website, I could see that one of them was, it looked to me like a complete house.
Yes.
And then the other one is a small...
The other one is a postage stamp, yes.
A small, shall we say, cottage.
Yeah.
So tell us about those. And do the interns have any part in all of that?
Well, the interns are all living in the house now. So when people say, can I rent it during lavender season? I say, no, only if you're going to be an intern. And so the house itself is 5 bedrooms, 3 baths on 3 different levels. Very, very comfortable, and tends to be rented by family groups getting together. Sometimes it's in conjunction with a wedding on the property, because I will host weddings up to 50 guests, and or they're having a bigger wedding somewhere else on the island, say over at the lighthouse mm-hmm. or somewhere. And
we just had one of those last week.
Yeah. Yes, I saw some. I definitely met some people who had been at that wedding or were going to that wedding. And so they'll, you know, the groom's family or the bride's family will be staying at the Lavender Farm, and, they might host the rehearsal dinner there, for instance. So that's the big house. And when it's not being rented, I live there. And then for the 2 months that I rent the big house, I'm in my little studio, which is, it's a prefab by studio shed. It's 192 square feet. It has a bathroom with a shower and incinerating toilet, which is Norwegian. It's not Swedish, because I know you're shouting out to Sweden, but it is from that part of the world, because they develop toilets that can work in the cabin above the fjords,
indeed,
right?
Indeed,
so they
can, yes.
So they have a model that runs on propane. This one is electric. It has a wonderful deck, and it has a killer view of the Inner Harbor. So that Betty's Blue is rented a lot of the time. I mean, I'm pretty much turning it over, you know, every 3 days. I allow a dog, so I get a lot of... I mean, if I had to sort of stereotype who stays there, it's a young couple with a dog and no kids yet.
So... are either or both on Airbnb or the other one, Airbnb?
Vrbo or VRBO, VRBO, as I said. They're both on Airbnb and VRBO, and the links to all of that are on LavenderHillVashon.com.
Okay. So I am urging all of Captain Joe's people who are interested to go to the website, because it really is a beautiful piece of work. Did you do the website design yourself?
I got some help on that. Mm-hmm. Actually, the first help I got was 2015. Hudson Gardner, who was one of my interns, mm-hmm. who was the son of Susie of Susie's Lavender. That's how I met her. And he's a wonderful photographer and did the original web design on Squarespace. And then I've updated it a bit to make it clearer what are the three areas that we're focusing on. Visit the farm, rent the farmhouse or the studio, or host an event. And so it's been a little modified. And I do make all the changes myself, so I know enough about it, yeah.
When you were talking about people involved with weddings, do you cater yourself, or do you have somebody bring that in? I can see the expression on your face when I asked whether you catered yourself.
I'm going to tell, I have a little story about that. But no, we are the venue. We provide tables and chairs, and we can provide all of the plates and the cutlery and all of that. We did have a wedding, I think it was in 2019, where they had a caterer, and then the mother of the bride decided she'd do it herself. And they arrived, and it was a wedding that same day, and they arrived with the ingredients and recipes.
On the same day?
And handed it over to... us and the interns, and was like, yeah, I'm not sure we know how to play. Yeah. So it was sort of the show must go on. And I've become a lot clearer about how this needs to work because we're not food handlers. So, yeah.
So nowadays I could not send you a box of flour and a recipe and ask you to produce a full 10-course meal for me. I could not do that.
I wouldn't suggest doing it. But,
no.
You know, we get very small weddings, sometimes 20 people, and the people staying in the house do all the cooking and they prepare all their own food. That's totally fine. But this particular wedding I'm talking about, they were not renting the house. It was during lavender season. And so they arrived at 12 for a 5 o'clock wedding and everybody got cooking.
So we don't have the time, and this is your time, not...
No,
well, my time and your time. But I've got a number of wedding stories from Point Robinson because, I'm not going to tell any of those here, except to point out that at Point Robinson, we do not allow any animals. Mm. And so you're allowing people to bring their dog to Betty's cottage.
Betty's Blue. Betty's Blue is the name of a very small, beautiful lavender. So that's where the name comes from.
I'm glad you told
Betty's
me because
Blue.
I was just about to ask you that. So you are coming from a theater and theater related background,
yes.
I think.
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
And I know that that we most recently were together at a gathering with Charlotte, who has mm-hmm. been with me on this program a number of times, mm-hmm. and all of the work that Charlotte is doing. So are you sneaking back into the theater world a little bit here on the island?
I am. I'm not sure I left. I mean, you know, I think the last thing I did in Seattle before COVID was that Jeannie Doherty and I went in and we did the general auditions for theater Puget Sound. And about 3 days later, all the theaters closed down. So I don't know that any of those people remember me. But yes, so I've done readings. I was in The Exonerated, which we did at Vashon Center for the Arts. I'm not in, I want to, you know, highly recommend the festival this summer. I can't do it because the rehearsals are during lavender season. So I regret not being able to do that. And I'm not a great singer, so I will not be in Sweeney Todd. But I'm looking forward to doing more. Yeah, it's not... Actors don't retire.
No, that's right.
We just wait for the phone to ring.
That's right. So you brought up the theater festival, and when we get closer to that, Charlotte will come on with me again, and we'll talk about it. We only have a few more minutes, and so I'm going to give you the time to make a representation of how you would like people to come and see you. We've already talked about how they can reach you by the website, and I know all of your contact details are on that. But give me just a few words of what you feel and what you think, why all of us should come to the Lavender Hill Farm. I already know why I should come there, because I just think it's a beautiful place, and you're doing a wonderful job with it. So over
Thank
to you.
You
for a minute, and then I get to make my closing remarks.
Thank you. First, let me say that we don't charge admission to the farm. That's something that people ask. So don't hesitate. You don't need an appointment. You just pull up and park and walk in. It's small, so you don't have to put your hiking boots on. The phrase that we've been saying this year and have a wonderful logo about that is come to your senses. Which I think applies to so many things. We've gone through, you know, this is the third summer of facing COVID. We need to breathe, we need to see, we need to smell. And believe me, those 20 different varieties of lavender, they smell different, they look different. People are surprised that there's more than one kind. So we want to create a peaceful oasis for you to come to your senses. And whether you walk around and take pictures or just sit in the shade or go smell the flowers, all are welcome, including dogs and children.
And Kathy, you and the work that you're doing are just the kind of thing that I like to have from the captain's chair. And so I've got just a couple of minutes to make remarks about the memorial and party that we had for Mary R. on Sunday. It was absolutely glorious, and it rained, and fortunately we had the largest canopy that Doug at the Ace Service Center could provide. And so there was, as the rain started coming down and the tables started filling up, there were some little bit of maybe even a little whining about the fact that it was raining and how could that have happened for Mary R's party. And I pointed out, as I point out here, that to a sailor, fresh water is a precious commodity. And that when we use up all the water that we have in the tanks, then we have to make our own. And so whenever I was underway anywhere in the world and could see a rain squall on the radar, and they come up very clearly on the radar, that anytime I could see a rain squall on the radar, that we would divert the ship off of her intended course and to sail through the rain squall for the free fresh water to wash everything down. And if I was carrying aircraft, we would always launch the helicopters and have them fly through, because fresh water is so precious. And if you fly through, or if you take the ship through fresh water, you get all of this wonderful free fresh water washed down. And so I took it as, and so should you, all of my lovely Captain Joe's people all over the world, take this as yet another gift of Mary R. Wubold for all of the things that she gave to me for all of the years that we were together. We had family, we had friends of family rank, we had people from as far away as Boston and as close aboard as two houses down from Point Robinson. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time. And it was all of the things that I had wanted, and that was the important part, that it was everything that was reflective of her dear, dear heart and her dear soul. And she was with us, and I am not going to go any farther because, first of all, I've run out of time, and secondly, I'm beginning to tear up. So this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. Remember that we never say goodbye. We always say until we meet again. And that's what we said at the end. The last closing remarks at her party were, until we meet again. Kathy, until we meet again. And thank you for being with me today. And so this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. We'll meet here next week. I will be in San Francisco on the deck of the Coast Guard cutter Polar Star, where her commanding officer is being relieved in due course, and she will have a new captain. I hope to have him on with me. And so this is your Captain Joe saying I am, as always, on station and watching properly.